Tell me, Earth Mother, I beg you.
The curtain at her side twitched back, and the armorer stood there, fully dressed, even to the jaunty fedora. The wire-rimmed glasses glittered in the poor light, hiding JB's eyes. The blaster in his hand slid noiselessly back into its holster.
I heard you, Christy. You got something on Ryan?
Yeah, bad. He's in pain. Can't tell more than that, JB, but it's gone wrong.
Sounds like Jack could have found trouble. Wasn't a good plan, but it was the damn best one we had. I think it's time we talk to Cuchillo Oro.
Jack was sleeping in his neat room, only a few steps along the passage from the quarters of Court Stresser. He'd finally managed to drift off, after a light meal of soup and fresh cornbread. The boy's brain had been racing, running over what he'd seen and heard during the day at Fort Security. From what the orderly had told him, he now knew that Ryan was in the deepest shit, that he'd killed a sec man in a fight, and the general was already torturing him. The place was run tighter than a rat's ass. If he got to Ryan, he had to spring him from the sec cell, then get the main gates opened and buy enough of a start for a mounted patrol to lose them out in the desert. That was all. A knife slash of golden light appeared on the far wall of the boy's room, sufficient to bring him fully awake. The strip widened, then disappeared as a man's shadow blocked it out. Jack kept still, all his senses alert. It was the smell that told him who it was, before his eyes picked out the long shape. The scent was dried sweat, laced with fear and madness.
You awake, boy?
Yeah. Yeah, General.
Get yourself up and dressed. Full uniform, trooper. Quick as you can.
What is it, General?
You and I will... we'll do some things. That's what we'll do. We'll both do some things. Get dressed.
Ryan had come around, his body sore all over, a dull ache pincering his groin. But he knew that what Strasser had done to him thus far was only a childish, spiteful beginning. Nothing had been done that wouldn't stop hurting in a few hours. Apart from some superficial bruising, it would be completely over in a day. He also knew that Strasser would come back, and keep coming back, until time and light and dark and day and night all ceased to have any relevance to him. Ideally, Ryan wanted one single chance at the sec boss, a moment to tear the grinning mask of flesh off the long warped skull. If he died with Strasser, that wouldn't be so bad. With that thought, Ryan suddenly realized that he understood the Apache concept of there being a good day for a man to die. Earlier, Jack had been disgusted by some pictures that Strasser had shown him. He had sat next to the boy on the bed, one hand on his thigh, describing what each picture showed, who the prisoner had been, whether it had been male or female. Often, the torture had reached such an advanced stage that it wasn't possible to tell. Eventually, the general had ushered Jack along the corridor from his room, past his own quarters, to where a trooper stood guard outside the pair of cells. One had its door, with a sophisticated lock, standing partly open, the keys in place. The other door was firmly locked. Strasser ordered the sec man off duty, telling him there would be no need to return until he received further orders. The man saluted smartly and marched off. Jack felt Strasser's hand caress him briefly through the tight material stretched over his buttocks.
Now we won't need to worry at all about our being interrupted, Trooper Lauren. We got us all of the night to do whatever we want.
Court Strasser turned to the boy, the skin across the high cheekbones seeming so stretched that it might tear like calico.
You and me, Trooper Lauren, are going to finish it this night. I've decided that Ryan Cotter's race is run.
He pushed open the door to the cell. The absurdly tall shaman, man whose eyes see more, sat across from the Anglos, in front of the freshly built fire. He wore a vest of flowered brocade, the scarlet cravat a brilliant splash of color at his throat. The mirrored glasses reflected the leaping flames from the dried branches. Cuchillo Oro sat next to him, his daughter at his shoulder, and a half dozen of his older warriors ranged alongside him.
You share the power of seeing, Firehair Woman. I have read the signs. I loosed a snake, and it tried to destroy itself in my fire. One-Eye Chills is in great danger, and Eyes of Wolf has not been able to aid him.
Your friends have chosen their own path of knowledge, and now hunt it alone. To try and help them is to destroy us all.
Now wait just one damn minute.
He's right, Doc. No way we can take out the fort. Best we can do is maybe ride out after dawn. Take a look at things. If they're gone, then they're gone. I'm sorry, Christy, but that's the way it has to be. We'd just be throwing more corpses on Ryan's body if we try anything else.
Christy nodded slowly, knowing that the armorer spoke the truth. But that knowledge didn't stop the tears from gathering. The canyon was flooded with the opalescent glow of early dawn. The cliffs that rose sheer above the still pool of water were daubed with bright splashes of red and orange, reflected in the mirrored surface below. The women, having been roused in the darkness, prepared food, while the young boys got horses ready for everyone in the wreck party. The warriors, who would have gone out to relieve the night's watchers, joined Cuchillo Oro, some of the elders of the tribe, and the Anglos. There was an atmosphere of nervous tension in the rancheria. Everyone knew that things had rushed to a sudden moment of urgency. The fire-haired woman and the tribe's own shaman both felt that something crucial was happening. Christy was rubbing grease into her silvered Heckler & Koch P7A-13 when a shadow fell across her. She looked up and saw the tall figure of the war chief.
Cuchillo!
I want to speak silently with you, Firehair Woman. I mean, Christy.
Silently?
So nobody hears us.
Oh, sure. Yeah, go ahead. Nobody can hear.
You will not tell anyone?
No, of course not. This is between you and me.
And everyone in the group, she thought to herself. He knelt at her side, glancing around to make sure none of his people was within earshot of them.
If all is lost, you will go from here?
Yes. Nothing to keep me.
I understand that. Man whose eyes see more thinks that Ryan and Jack are both in great danger, perhaps already in the land of spirits.
I know that. That's what we aim to try and find out.
My daughter will weep if Eyes of Wolf does not return to us. It is the way of women of the people to cut off a finger if their warrior does not return. My daughter does not hold to the old ways, but her heart will weep tears of ice.
Where's this getting us, Cuchillo Oro? Speak plain.
Very well. Ryan said that if he did not come back, then when you went, you might take me with you, and Steps Lightly Moon as well.
Ah, I see.
What is your answer?
Why not stay here?
With my people.
Yeah.
Because I have talked with Ryan about where you have been and what you have seen. I am a great warrior. In any fight, I would help you, and there would be much honor from me.
Christy looked at the Apache, trying to get the feel of the man, seeing pride and anger and a great deal of raw courage. She wondered if that mix would be the right one for him to join her and the others in their journeys.
Why do you not reply?
I don't have the answer, Cuchillo. I'm not saying it's impossible, but we're a team. Ryan's the leader. Gotta be his word.
But he is dead and...
I should not have spoken those words. We will talk of this later.
Sure.
Ryan stood and watched as the door of the torture cell began to swing open. Jack peered around the stooped figure of Court Strasser, seeing Ryan, barely able to stand upright with the tight chains, his body marked with dozens of small bruises.
No.
Jack didn't hesitate, didn't stop to think through the possible consequences of his action. He simply stiffened the fingers of his right hand and made his move. Strasser staggered against the frame of the door. To Jack's amazement and horror, the sec boss didn't go down. Strasser's fingers tightened into claws as he fought to draw breath.
Why, you little...
Again, Jack! Fucking bastard!
The tall man staggered again, out of the doorway and into the corridor, trying to back away from the ferocity of the albino's attack. But Jack was after him, long white hair whirling about his face.
You got him?
Of course. Wait.
Jack took Strasser by his feet and pulled him roughly into the other cell, leaving him in a tumbled heap on the earth. In the poor light, it was difficult to see whether the sec boss was still breathing. Jack didn't care much either way. He slammed the heavy sec door, turning the keys in the lock. On an afterthought, the boy opened the ob slit and threw the keys inside, knowing that a door like that could only be opened from the outside. It would slow things down a little. Time was now a matter of life or death. One of the sec men might come through at any moment, and once the alarm was raised, living was going to be measured in a few beats of the heart. Jack sprinted through into the cell where Ryan was chained, grabbed the keys off the wall, and unlocked the manacles. Ryan fell for a moment to his knees. He rubbed at his wrists before straightening, patting the boy on the shoulder.
Fireblast, it's good to see you. Have you chilled the evil fucker?
Not sure. Maybe not.
No? Where'd you put him? I'll send him to buy the farm right here and now. Give me more pleasure than... What's wrong?
I'm triple stoop.
What? Why?
Locked him in cell next to Long.
Then give me the key and...
Stress is out cold, so pushed keys into cell. Make it hard get him out.
Oh, for fuck's... Okay, okay, it's done. But I'd have given a year off of my life to see that streak of dirt dead in my hands.
Sorry, Ryan.
Don't apologize. You did good. Saved my skin. All we have to do is get out of here. Anyone ever tell you those pants are too tight, kid?
Yeah, Ryan. And don't call me kid.
It only took a few minutes for Jack and Ryan to find their own clothes. The albino took a pair of the Navy Colts, making sure they were fully loaded. Ryan recovered his own Sig Sauer P226 from a shelf in Strasser's office. Ryan noticed that the sec boss had hung a Russian sniper's rifle on the wall, like one that he'd once seen up in the icy lands that had been called Alaska. It was a Dragunova with a PSO-1 telescopic sight. Jack saw it as well.
Can I take Blaster?
Nah, it'll slow us down. We hit him close or we don't hit him at all. Let's get out of here before someone comes along.
Jack led the way out of the side door to the main block and walked straight into a patrolling sentry, knocking the sec man off balance.
What the? You're the kid come in yesterday. Who gave you permission to roam the fort?
The corporal held the Springfield carbine in his right fist and grabbed at Jack's camouflage jacket. He stared unbelievingly at the streams of blood, black in the moonlight, seeping from the deep cuts in his fingers. The fragments of razor steel in the boy's coat had done their job. Before the man could get over the initial shock, Jack had drawn one of his slim-bladed throwing knives. Gripping it by the tapered, weighted hilt, he thrust it as hard as he could into the angle between throat and jaw. He felt the trooper's stubble on the back of his hand as the knife penetrated. There was very little blood. Jack held the slumped figure of the dying sentry. Ryan snatched the Springfield as it dropped toward the planking of the narrow porch, offering it to Jack as the boy lowered the corpse gently.
Which way?
Main gate there's got two guards. Could try and take them out. There's another door out back under the mesa, near the cavalry museum. Either we get a good start, or we blow the whole ville here.
Can't do that. Kill all the horses. Make too much noise.
There's a dune wag. Saw it near the Smith's Forge.
Let's go.
It was virtually impossible for any potential enemy to attack Fort Security from the rear, unless they came up over the mesa. But there was a narrow trail that wound out between the main doors of the museum and the back wall of the fortress. Apart from the sentry, whom Jack had taken out, Ryan could only see the two patrolling troopers on either side of the front gates. Jack's eyesight in the brightness of noon was poor, but in the gloom, he could see excellently.
No others. Wag's there, by forge. Cover me.
Ryan followed him across, running light-footed over the sand, only the faintest sound breaking the stillness of the night. The wag was in a poor state of repair, with the faint stencil USCM barely visible on its battered flank. The flat tires were worn smooth, and some of the gleaming solar panels had disappeared. Ryan had driven similar vehicles and knew that the nearer they'd been built to the year 2000, the better they were likely to be. Up till then, the use of solar power had been limited and inefficient. The range on this dune wag was unlikely to be better than 30 miles without some sort of recharging. The rear entrance was only secured by a pair of large bolts, and Jack eased them both down, pushing the gates apart. Ryan glanced at the instrument panel of the wag, checking that he knew what he was going to do before he risked starting it up. It was the usual button ignition with tiller steering and independent four-wheel drive and braking, 6 forward gears and 1 reverse. He beckoned to the boy to climb aboard, motioning him into the wide back seat.
If anyone sees us, start shooting.
Even if you don't hit any of them, at least it'll keep their heads down. Slow them down for coming after us. He reached out to press the start button.